It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Logan hockey fans, are you ready to brave the wild with me, your host Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen? Brave the Wild is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, PodMN, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, Double Twist, Audible, of course. Thank you once again for joining me today. The Minnesota Wild have showed up to play. Last week it looked like, oh my God, yeah, they're going to really have a long time recovering from COVID-19 and all that. You know, everything is just, woe is us, we stink, we lost 4-0 to the Kings, we didn't even, you know, there's just no life. We're going to probably end up like 500 at the end of the year and miss the playoffs by a mile. No, the Minnesota Wild played Anaheim twice, San Jose once, and the Colorado Avalanche just last night and went 4-0, undefeated. You heard me, 4-0-0 for the Minnesota Wild versus some pretty solid teams there, eh? Not bad. 4-0. Well, pretty solid team. And then, you know, San Jose can be a headache, and occasionally John Gibson might shut us down. The Minnesota Wild scored 8 goals against John Gibson in 2 games. Pretty damn impressive. Let's get started for the sake of time. Thursday, the 18th of February, the Minnesota Wild defeat the Anaheim Ducks 3-1 and get back over 500 at least. Like, oh, we'll be lucky to finish 500 this year. Well, maybe we'll be finishing way, way, way above 500. Kaapo Kähkönen only faced 16 shots in the game. But Coach Dean Evason, not too excited about this game because he thought the Wild should have, like, ran these guys right out of the gym, right out of the rink, so to speak, because it's a, you know, the Wild definitely have a talent increase versus the Anaheim Ducks at this stage. John Gibson beaten 3 times, though, which is nice, on 27 total shots got on goal anyway. Shot attempts higher for the Wild. The Ducks are one of those tough, greedy teams that blocked a lot of shots, but and that's how we got shut out some of those times. Of course, Gibson being great, but very solid in terms of at least getting the job done, and Kaapo Kähkönen has been outstanding in the month of February, to say the least. Absolutely outstanding. Less than 2 goals a game. 4-1 in the 5 games. Obviously lost to the Los Angeles Kings. Definitely not his fault as much as just, it was just kind of a general situation with the Minnesota Wild. Depleted roster and just everything kind of not going well. The guys that were quote-unquote healthy weren't really healthy after all. But against the Ducks, Nick Modino returned, Nico Sturm, guys like that. Actually, Sturm didn't have anything, thank God for that. Zuccarello had returned versus the Kings, and he would get his first point of the season. Little did we know how fantastic Mats Zuccarello would be after this. He got his first point of the season. Did Mats Zuccarello assisting on Kevin Fiala's 4th goal of the season. That was pretty cool. Kevin Fiala just kind of getting closer to the net at the end of the day. And then Ryan Hartman would steal a puck early on and finish for his 2nd goal of the year. Hartman moved to the 3rd line to play center, centering Zach Parise and Nick Foligno. That line looking really good. And then Kevin Fiala with Mats Zuccarello at this moment, but then the lines would continue to shuffle bits and pieces. And, of course, lines kind of shuffle in the middle of games. And, like in this case, you had Nick Bonino at center with Parise and Foligno. Lines shuffle. Guys are moved around, this and that. Generally speaking, just depending on the situation, you know, coaches obviously put guys together. Foligno would get his 2nd goal. He had a hell of a week. Parise actually finally accumulated some points this week, including his 3rd goal of the season and his 800th career point. Zuccarello would get his 400th career point. Good for him. two guys, obviously, who were points starved during the course of last season and this season, especially with Parisi. Zuccarello, only his second game of the year, and my God, what an unbelievable start to his season with 9 points in 5 games. You heard that. 9 points in 5 games. You hear this? Yeah, 9 points in 5 games for Matt Zuccarello. That is, like, crazy. Absolutely crazy. He's been spectacular since rejoining the Wild. Looked really good, even against the Los Angeles Kings. Just nobody could finish. Nobody could get anything together. And again, Dean Evason against the Ducks here. A little annoyed. He thought the Wild were a little lethargic. Like, come on, we could crush these guys. You know, we should be better than this. But luckily, the Minnesota Wild listened and answered the call of the Wild from Coach Dean Evason with a 5-1 victory. Again, 5 goals against the Anaheim Ducks. John Gibson, again, getting destroyed by the Minnesota Wild. Kaapo Kekkonen always seems to give up at least 1 goal. It is what it is. But this is when things really started to take shape. Things started to get real interesting for the Minnesota Wild. Matt Zuccarello with one of those highlight type of plays, putting the puck into the net. Actually, that was the Colorado one in this case. But this was his first goal of the season, releasing the puck. Again, Kirill Kaprizov with Matt Zuccarello is about one of the best things. It was one of the most genius ideas. Dean Evason, great job. Great job, indeed. And then being centered by Viktor Rask, who is one of the better faceoff men on the team all of a sudden. And it's the perfect chemistry with Kaprizov. Yes, Kirill Kaprizov, Matt Zuccarello, and Viktor Rask. Who would have thunk that combination would work? It's working, and it's working really well. Viktor Rask would score on a one-timer. Zuccarello as well. Man, unbelievable passing skills by Kirill Kaprizov. You'd see it on display throughout the course of this week. Kevin Fiala, absolutely awesome. Exploding to the puck, getting out on the break, and scoring on John Gibson. And then he would get in close and finish as well later on. 2 goals in the game. He also added an assist. Again, his line, pretty spectacular as well. That's the quote-unquote top line being centered by Joel Eriksson-Ek with Kevin Fiala and Jordan Greenway all kind of working together there. Of course, again, you had Viktor Rask, Zuccarello, and Kaprizov on line number 2. Line number 3, centered by Ryan Hartman as we move forward. Zach Parise and Mr. Nick Foligno, and then Nicholas Bonino would be with Nicholas Bjugstad and Nico Sturm. The 3N line, okay, or the Nick line, whatever you want to call it, but that's your fourth line, the 3N line or the Nick line. None of those guys were able to get a point. Neither did Foligno and Parise in this 5-1 demolition derby of the Dumpster Ducks, as you might want to call them now. Dumpster Doug and Dumpster Ducks. Matt Zuccarello would add another goal and another assist. Just working together with Kaprizov, it's been great. The highlight of the game, I thought, in terms of spectacular plays, was the way Kirill Kaprizov went towards the net. Or no, this is Foligno. Kirill Kaprizov had the spectacular play in the earlier game. He actually had a good one in this one as well. Just some unbelievable passing skills by Kirill Kaprizov. Sometimes just simply moving the puck, but also, again, the skating and then the movement of the puck afterwards. But, I mean, what an unbelievable performance by Kevin Fiala in this game as he went close to the net, did a spinorama, which ultimately led towards Joel Eriksson-Ek, which Ryan Hartman was on this line. They were working together. And this was Kevin Fiala's first assist of the year, which is kind of funny. He was going goals only for a while there. He had 6 goals and no assists at this stage. But that spinorama goal, which made it 5-1, spinorama passed to Hartman, who led over to Joel Eriksson-Ek, who finished for his 6th goal of the season. An absolutely highlight play. Yes, the game was pretty much over already. A 4-1 lead ultimately led to 5-1, and we all know how leads can disappear. But, well, hey, a spectacular play. Again, Viktor Rask, Zuccarello, and Kaprizov. That might have been the highlight of the game as well. I mean, these were the 2 goals that pretty much put the game on ice. Viktor Rask's 4th goal of the season. What a beauty. Absolute beauty. Kirill Kaprizov and Zuccarello working with Viktor Rask on one of the highlight plays as well. Another tic-tac-toe play. Kevin Fiala, again, powering in for a 6th goal of the year. And, of course, the play where he took the puck away and exploded to the net, outskating everybody, leading the pack for his 5th goal of the season. So much fun to watch. Absolutely so much fun to watch. Zuccarello and Kaprizov together with Viktor Rask. Great chemistry on that second line. Fiala just dominating. Jarrett Spurgeon with only his third point of the season, by the way. He assisted on the first goal of the game to make it 1-0. Jarrett Spurgeon, only 3 assists on the season. Hopefully he can get some offense going. Obviously his intangible play is very, very much evident, but not been showing up in the scoreboard until right there, finally. It's been a long, long time for him, but good for him there. David Backus, I forgot he existed. I mean, my goodness, he still exists, and he's on the Ducks now. Second goal of the season for him, the only goal scorer in the game. David Backus used to torture us with the St. Louis Blues years ago in that entertaining series when Mike Yeo was still the coach of the Wild anyway. The second time around, Backus, I believe, had moved on to Boston already. I believe he had. Yep, had moved on to Boston already and was dropping off and just wasn't as good. He had that huge contract. It was just another one of those after 30 contracts, and they signed this huge deal, and they're a bust the whole time. Kaapo Kähkönen continuing to be dominant. And, of course, again, not that much resistance per se. Obviously, great defense in front of him, and Anaheim not mustering a whole lot of offense. But, hey, they're still NHL players. This is still the National Hockey League. You have guys like Rand Getzlaff, David Backus, guys like that. You know, guys that are named Ricard Raquel, Silverberg, Silverberg, guys like that that can actually play a little bit. Max Comtois also is actually a pretty decent player. He's a decent player, but Kähkönen giving up only 1 goal on 27 shot attempts, continuing to be spectacular in the save percentage department and getting another win for the Minnesota and for fantasy players all over the world. Congratulations. Kaapo Kähkönen, what a great week for him. Absolutely great. We move forward to the San Jose Sharks, where the goal scoring just doesn't stop. The Minnesota Wild goal scoring was like in the doldrums of the National Hockey League. Now it's 17th, and we're 7th in goals against. Still 30th on the power play, despite we got that power play goal by Kevin Fiala. 30th on the power play, but it's up to 8.8% now. Huh? 8.8% penalty kill is 4th in the National Hockey League for Minnesota. As we continue to step up and step forward. You beat the Sharks 6-2. You beat the Colorado Avalanche 6-2, all on the road. Doesn't get much better than this. I mean, what an awesome road trip, huh? What an insane road trip for your Minnesota Wild going into San Jose. Oh, man. Victor Rask would get an empty netter much later in the game. Ian Cole would get a couple points. Good feeling. But Cole actually got one against Colorado also. Brent Burns, for the second time this year, with an absolutely highlight play against your Minnesota Wild. The earlier one actually ended up winning the game for the Sharks 3-2, if I remember correctly, earlier in the season. That was devastating. It looked like Michael Jordan going up against Magic Johnson and the Lakers in Game 1 of the NBA Finals when he made that spectacular play that we all see. This one, not quite as dramatic as that one, but still an incredible play. He made Jonas Brodin look absolutely silly on the play, kind of like a crossover dribble, the equivalent of that. Just kind of slid the puck around Mr. Jonas Brodin. I couldn't believe it. It was great defenseman versus great defenseman, and this one is a hell of a score, even though he doesn't score as many goals as he used to, at least early on. He usually starts slow. Brent Burns starts slow every year. Like, he'd get his second or third goal of the year, and it'd be against us. And then all of a sudden, you know, by whatever, you know, by March, he's got like 60 points, you know, in a regular season, like a regular season with the amount of games and everything. Zuccarello, Rask, and Kaprizov working together on another one. Rask finally, he's another one who finally got his first assist, just like Kevin Fiala the other day against the Ducks. Oh, man, that's funny. Zuccarello, second goal of the year. Kaprizov now 9 assists. Wow, 9 assists. Nice to have Carson Soucy back. He was one of the late ones, along with Nicholas Bonino. They were the later ones coming back, and Talbot still isn't back. But I guess he's the backup now. He's the backup goalie now, but not been in the games, and I guess you might as well ride Kähkönen out. If he's going to keep playing this well, go ahead, as long as it's not 70 games, so to speak. But that's kind of platoon goalie. You ride this guy, then you ride that guy, then you ride this guy, and you ride that guy. And maybe on occasion you go one game at a time between the two guys. Ian Cole will get his first goal of the season. Working together with Hartman and Foligno, that's a gritty group of players there. Third line with Ian Cole, the third pairing. Gritty group of players, all getting points. Really nice. But yeah, Ryan Hartman has been freaking awesome as a center. Great idea by Dean Evason. Some stuff, it's like you look at it, it's like, Ryan Hartman at center? Huh? Okay, I guess. I mean, I thought he was one of those gritty wall guys who'll score some goals here and there. He'll get some points. And a couple years ago with the Blackhawks, and early in his career, he got off to a great start. But then it's just you realize he's a bottom six kind of guy who can score a little bit. But, you know, he's more of a, you know, he's more of a grinder, a checker type of player, penalty kill, that kind of guy. But he actually does have some offensive prowess, and that's why he was taken in the first round years ago by the Chicago Blackhawks, our kind of arch rival. Kind of arch rival, not because we're so great, but because they had such a great run, and we were so below them. It's hard to call yourself a rival when they're winning cups and we're losing in the first or second round. That's just sports reality, guys. Like the Wolves and Lakers, not rivals. You know, stuff like that. Of course, I know the Wild are not as bad as the Wolves. I know. I'm just saying. Just saying, okay? Like maybe even the Jazz and Lakers are not rivals, that kind of thing. I know. I don't want to praise the Blackhawks too much. That might irritate everybody on the planet. But the lines are working. Even the fourth line had some points against the Colorado Avalanche as they moved much forward, but we'll wait for that. Ian Cole, multi-point game. How about that? Ian Cole, multi-point game, also assisting on Victor Rask, empty netter. Fifth goal of the season. Victor Rask has more points than a lot of people, and he had a spectacular game against the Ducks where he won 13 of 14 faceoffs. That's just off the charts. Devin Dubnyk would come in and replace Martin Jones, who did not have a good game, obviously. Four goals on only 20 shot attempts. That's save percentage of 80. It's not going to get the job done. Sharks actually had a pretty decent game, getting 33 shots to Kaapo Kakkonen, and he gave up only two. Save percentage still 94. Again, that's a lot of shots. A lot of shots got to Kaapo Kakkonen. Maybe not all of them were all that great analytically, that type of thing. But one way or another, the Sharks did get something towards the net. I mean, it is what it is. Victor Rask, three-point game. Kirill Kaprizov, three-point game, would score very close to the net, redirecting a shot from Matt Zuccarello. Four freaking points for Zuccarello. Oh, this is when the numbers just take off. His passing skills and his chemistry with guys like Kaprizov and Greenway and such, just incredible combination. It's sad to see Greenway not scoring anymore, but it's kind of a two-man team now between Zuccarello and Kaprizov. Generally speaking, they are just beautiful together. Absolutely beautiful. Victor Rask, yeah, working together with Victor Rask. Zuccarello, Rask, and Kaprizov. It is just beautiful music watching those guys work together. I don't know why I said Greenway. I apologize about that. Rask is working, yeah. Greenway's with Fiala. That line didn't do nearly as much, unfortunately, in this game. Joel Eriksson-Ek, Fiala, and Greenway with 0 points in the game. But, you know, it's game by game. Ryan Hartman setting up other players in the game. A couple of assists. Playing third line center again, just doing great. And that second line was spectacular. They're maybe the real top line in a lot of ways. The Carrillo, Rask, and of course the man Kirill Kaprizov. Kirill the Thrill is for real. No question about that. Again, passing skills, and you know he can finish here and there. His goals haven't been all that spectacular yet, but you know it's coming. You know it's coming because you look at his different times he moved to the next level. Like, say, in the under-18s and such, his early years, he had more assists than goals, like, significantly more. Got to the KHL his first year, more assists than goals. Was looking to set other players up. And then it was a combo platter, where it was goals and assists. And then you saw the real full-blown superstar with Kirill Kaprizov. Could be starting as soon as next year, or maybe the end of this year, where the goals will start to come. I have no problem if he's going to continue to set other players up and make everyone better. This and that. It's just, yeah, I mean, on occasion, just shoot the damn puck. There was a play during the course of this game where all he had to do was shoot the puck, and the puck he ended up just kind of giving it up, and the pass ended up getting broken away. Sometimes it's unnecessary. Just shoot it. If the shot's there, just take it. Obviously, there's no one there to block it, so to speak. Make a move. You're one-on-one with the goalie. Why are you passing? Just finish. Just, or at least attempt to finish. Attempt to make a move and finish. Kirill Kaprizov, of course, I tweeted that out during the course of this day. I was like, why isn't he shooting? It really isn't a myth, you know, when people talk about that. He's one of the lower shot attempt forwards on the Minnesota Wild right now. But I can't complain too much. He's leading the team in scoring by 4 points. 4 goals, 11 assists so far. 17 total points. He's a plus 7 on the year. Greenway, you know, unfortunately, again, quiet week. 11 points for him. 11 points for Greenway in the 16 games. Kirill Kaprizov is almost a point-a-game player already in the NHL. Wow. Joel Eriksson-Ek also has quieted down. You kind of knew this was going to happen. I mean, they're not point-a-game players, but they'll be solid. Ryan Hartman with 9 bleeping points. 9 points for Ryan Hartman. He's the fourth leading scorer in the Minnesota Wild. Ryan Hartman. Wow. He's been insane since moving to center on that third line. Insane. And this is with guys like Parisi, who has been invisible. You know, and Foligno is what he is, but he had a really damn good week, did Marcus Foligno. He's about half a point a game. Parisi's half a point a game. Foligno, 8 total points in 14 games, 4 goals, 4 assists, sorry. Dumba finally got a 6th point on the year. Yeah, it's been a quiet run for him, quiet season again. Guys like Bukestad, Bonino, anything you get out of them is a bonus. And Marcus Johansson has been out. He's been on the he's been in the press box, so to speak. Or not in the press box, but he's been out. And nobody really wants him back. Like, why would you break up any of these lines? The only line you might put Marcus Johansson on is the 4th line at this point, replacing either a Bukestad or Sturm, which I would not replace Sturm. So I guess we'll go with Bukestad. But, you know, why would you replace him? He's a good face-off guy, even though he doesn't provide a whole lot else at this stage. Good face-off guy. He's okay, so he could be your 4th line center. This and that. At least you're seeing promise from Kalen Addison. You saw that early on in his 3 games. He didn't score, but he quote-unquote passed the eye test, as Wes Walls would say. He passed the eye test. He looks like a legitimate defenseman. There were opportunities there that could have wound up in goals. He had spectacular passing skills, great skating, and he's got a chance to be a 40-50 point defenseman in the National Hockey League going forward someday. Someday. Definitely not today. But yeah, Johansson, it was talked about on the Judd and Declan, you know, the Judd's hockey show with Declan Goff. Yeah, don't even bring Johansson back. You know, see if you can get a mid to late round pick for him. Just move on. Bringing him back, I think, would mess up chemistry at this stage. It is what it is. He hasn't done a gosh darn Mickey freaking thing for the Wild the whole season. I just knew he wasn't going to be much. Somehow, I just got that weird tight feeling in my, you know, that tight feeling in the back of my mind, where it's like, he's not going to do anything, is he? You know, he's going to be one of those guys you get who's been successful elsewhere that isn't going to do jack for you. And that's exactly what Marcus Johansson's been. It is what it is. Victor Rask, 8 points on the year. Looks like they added a 3rd assist. Looks like it. No, he got one last night versus Colorado. But obviously, we'll move forward on that very shortly. Victor Rask, wow, he's been great. You know, he's at least the 2nd best center on the Wild right now. It depends on who he's with. And you know what? Good on Mr. Absolutely good on Mr. Bill Guerin for telling everybody, hey, you know what? He was not treated right previously. And he deserves to be here rather than just having him scratched and trying to buy him out and all that. Is he worth $4.2 million? No. But he's a good, solid player. He's at least worth $2.2, maybe up to $2.5. I'd re-sign Victor Rask. I would re-sign Victor Rask, yeah. Yeah. He's only 27 years of age. And, hey, if he can stay healthy and all that, and it looks like he got everything right, maybe he had some weird, it sounds like he had some weird nerve damage when he had that cut on his hand while cooking. But there's something there with Victor Rask. There's no question about it. There's something there, and I would re-sign Victor Rask moving forward. I'd re-sign him. That might sound crazy to some people out there. I would. 6-2 win over the Colorado Avalanche. Oh, my. And going into that 3rd period, up 3-1, I was like, we're going to, please, don't blow this somehow. Don't blow this somehow. Because, I mean, you just know Colorado's going to come flying at us. And we're not getting that many shots on goal. And the next thing you know, it was just a floodgate. It was so beautiful. Awesome feeling. Quiet start, or another quiet game for the top line of Drew Larksonette, Kevin Fiala, Jordan Greenway. No points. Back-to-back games. So that kind of sucks. Awesome game again for the 3rd line. Multiple points for Foligno. Ryan Hartman, Jack Parise would get his 3rd goal of the season and his 800th point in the National Hockey League. Feels good for him. Ryan Hartman, a goal and an assist. Foligno, goal and an assist. Huge weeks for both of them. They're Mike Modano of the week candidates, but I know who's going to get it. It's going to be one guy now. Nico Sturm got his 1st and 2nd NHL regular season goal. Awesome. First one was a pretty good play, kind of getting away there. And some good passing as well. You're making it 5-2. Of course, I'm jumping way ahead, but it is what it is. Nick Bukestad and Bonino also, you know, both getting points on the play. Two guys starving for points, but some nice passing. Nice forward pass by Bukestad, who hit Sturm for his 1st NHL goal, and he would get the empty netter. Very happy for Mr. Nico. It's not Miko anymore. Okay, we know. Zuccarello with an absolute highlight play to make it 1-0 midway through the 1st period. Kirill Kaprizov kind of getting the puck over. Kaprizov kind of lost the handle of the puck, and it became a tougher and tougher angle. And I don't know, I'm sure in Colorado they were saying it was the luckiest bounce ever. It was a lucky bounce, and maybe it was. Just like, maybe it was a lucky bounce. But you got to take it where you can get it. And it was an unbelievable angle. And the way Zuccarello's playing right now, maybe it was just Matt Zuccarello. Sometimes everything's working. And that second line, who's the real top line right now, Kaprizov, Victor Rask, working together with Zuccarello on that one. It was a thing of beauty. 1-0 Minnesota. JT Compton tied it up. That was frustrating. And you figure, oh, here we go. Here come the Avalanche. But not long after that, that third line took control, and Dumbo would finally get his third assist of the season. Woofta. Finally. But Parisi with his usual greasy goal, very, very close to the net. I actually thought Dumba scored that goal at first, but it wound up being Parisi, thankfully for him. And 800 career points for him now. Foligno, shorthanded, getting the puck from Hartman. Hartman taking the puck away and forwarding it to Foligno. Beautiful. Working on that penalty kill. Foligno and Hartman working on that top, making that outstanding penalty kill. Fourth in the league. Top-tier penalty kill in the National Hockey League, working together for a shorthander. You go into that third period, up 3-1 within 3 minutes, Kadri scores. I mean, the Avalanche were attacking and attacking Kakinen at that stage. Like, we're not going to give this thing up. We're going to eliminate this two-goal lead for you guys and take this one away and get the win. I had this sinking feeling. Like, here come the Avalanche. They're going to win now. But then it's just boom. The Wild just, Kakinen kept slamming the door, and the Wild kept minimizing their legitimate scoring chances. Ryan Hartman working together with Kirill Kaprizov. What a nifty pass this was for Kaprizov. 11 assists on the year working together with Ryan Hartman. Kind of cool. Guys that are all on fire working together there. Nice group. Fun to watch. What a great pass by Kirill Kaprizov. Another spinorama, kind of like Fiala's, but you could argue this one was even better. Wound up to Hartman's stick, and Hartman was like, you could tell he was blown away, like, oh my God, what a play. And when he finished, it was 4-2. And then again, Nico Sturm wrapped things up just moments later with that 5-2, that nice breakaway goal. Good lead pass from Nick Bjugstad, which led to Nico Sturm with good skating skills there to make it 5-2. And then, of course, early empty net with 3 minutes remaining, because Colorado had to really make up some ground. But the Wild end up winning the game and are now ahead of Colorado by a point. What a great feeling. What a shocking feeling. And, hey, we'll take it. We'll take anything we can get at this point. It's an absolutely awesome feeling. Minnesota, what's going on here? Oh, the King of the Kings won. That's great. Yep, where is it? They're not even showing it. Well, I had the standings in front of me. We'll reset it here really quick. But we were third. Now we're back to fifth. That sucks. Yeah, because Los Angeles and Arizona won. That figures. But we have multiple games in hand when it comes to those teams. We're a point ahead of Colorado, but both of us have only played in 16 games due to suspended schedule. Vegas is in first place, and they have 4 games in hand versus second place St. Louis. So we have a pretty good idea who might win the division here with Vegas. They look pretty strong. They've been great, and of course the goaltending in Vegas is awesome. We'll talk about them in segment number 2, because we'll be previewing only 2 teams, 4 games, but 2 teams with Vegas and Los Angeles. LA Kings are pretty good this year. I'm surprised they would be in the playoffs today. Pretty surprising. Their goal differential is 7. Minnesota's is 10, which is second in the division to only Vegas, and one of the best in the league. Holy Toledo. Boston's a plus 15. Boston's back to being freaking awesome, like they were last year before the bubble. Oh, Boston. They look like they're going to win the cup easily. Toronto is plus 19. Even Edmonton's plus 11. They've quietly really merged this year after they struggled at the beginning, but now they've been great. 4 wins in a row, this and that. Yeah, Florida's really good. Tampa Bay's a plus 23. They're, you know who they are. They're the champs, and they could repeat. But what a nice, awesome week for Minnesota. The Mike Modano Award's going to go to Matt Zuccarello. Mets Zuccarello, 9 points. 9 points for Matt Zuccarello, because nobody scored against the Kings earlier. And that's starting to look less and less like a terrible loss. Anytime you lose to the Kings isn't the worst thing in the world anymore. They're actually getting better. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it. And Jonathan Quick has been significantly better lately. Multiple shutouts already this season for Jonathan Quick, the guy who was giving up like 5 goals a game for a while there. It was pretty bad. And then you have James Sheppard Memorial. Is it Nick Bjugstad? He's pretty much invisible. Again, he had that nice play leading to Nico Sturm. Nick Bjugstad, pretty much invisible. You know, Dumba, I'm disappointed that he's just not finding the net. He's not getting assists or anything. It is what it is. I mean, his play has been predictable, and that's why you're not getting a whole lot of offense from him of late. Only 6 points. But just kind of like Bjugstad and Dumba, just kind of invisible, and it's frustrating. Even Greenway had a quiet week, but I'm not going to really complain. He had scoring chances, and I think he'll start finding the back of the net again. Hopefully that top line gets rolling. Maybe next game against the Kings, they'll be the leaders again. With that said, we'll take a break, and we'll preview 4 games with 2 teams. We are back here on Brave the Wild, segment number 2. We're going to preview 4 games, but 2 teams to talk about, so it shouldn't take too long in that sense. And we'll also talk about the prospects in this segment and leave segment number 3 for fan interaction. That's going to be the tradition as we move forward. It kind of has been. I usually have this one with the prospects in the past, and now it's easier because there's less, you know, teams playing the same amount of games, so to speak. Like, we're playing 4 games with 2 teams. Yeah, I think you get the point. The LA Kings have multiple injuries with Mikey Anderson, lower body injury since Feb 24. Jarrett Anderson Dolan, upper body injury since Jan 24. That's February 24. February 19th for Dolan. And Martin Vrk, well, that's freaking interesting. As of the 5th with a lower body injury. Not the biggest names ever. Marcus Johansson, undisclosed injury. Well, translation, he's not good enough to be in the lineup. Okay, sorry. Upper body injury for Alex Stalock, believing that's heart-related, but he's getting better. But I'm satisfied with the goaltenders right now. Alex Stalock gives up almost 3 goals a game, and that's kind of how he's been his whole career, so I'm not pining for Alex Stalock to be back between the pipes. I'm satisfied with Kaapo Kähkönen, at least as a backup, if not a platoon. I'm actually writing a piece about Kaapo Kähkönen. I'm calling it The Case for Kähkönen, so to speak, to be an NHL goalie. He's an NHL goalie to me. He's had some not-so-good games early on, but he's come around. We'll talk about Jonathan Quick here briefly as well, and of course Marco Rossi, but he's not even been on the Wild anyway. He wasn't necessarily going to be on Minnesota this year. We had a game postponed with the Kings at the beginning of the month. 4-0 loss to Los Angeles most recently. But generally speaking, the Wild have played okay against this team, 3-2. Well, and if we're going to overcome and get into the postseason, we guess we got to beat the Los Angeles Kings, don't we? And, well, it would have been that way anyway. So I believe it's one of these 2 games is the postponed game getting replayed. That's why we're playing them back-to-back here. Both in XL Energy Center. That's kind of cool. Nope, must be the one on April the 23rd. Must be, because this was in L.A. They wouldn't take away the game in L.A. They're going to put it back there. Okay, so that's what it is. These were already on the schedule. So it's April 23rd, that postponed game. Hopefully no more postponed games or suspended games for the Wild moving forward. And so we'll wrap up the season series all the way up in April 23rd. We won't play them till then, and we won't miss them too much either. They've been kind of a pain to play against. They're tough, they're physical, and they can score a little bit. And Jonathan Quick is getting better. Good for him. Calvin Peterson is actually the overall best goalie in terms of stats. Quick dude does have multiple shutouts on the year, including that one against us, but he had another one very recently. Kopitar is leading the club in points with 21. Very strong year for him. Dustin Brown, 17 points. Everybody hates Dustin Brown with a passion around here. So we still remember the elbow to the forehead of Mr. Jason Pominville during one of his better years with us, the early years. And we could really use Pominville's help, and Brown messed up his postseason bid moving forward. Again, though, nice to see Jonathan Quick playing better. He's 5-2 on the season. Calvin Peterson kind of snaked it with bad luck, only giving up 2.28 a game and a save percentage of 93. Yet he's only 4-4 on the year. Score some goals when Peterson's in. Okay, except against us. Just let us shut your asses out here. Will Kähkönen be in net both of these games? I'm guessing no. We'll see Talbot one of these two. Maybe tonight, but maybe tomorrow. I don't know. It is what it is. It's not tonight. That would be Friday, the 26th. Yep, my apologies there. Friday or Saturday. Kind of cool, like a college hockey weekend. in St. Paul, Minnesota. Pretty cool. Hopefully the Gophers continue to move forward as well when we talk about college hockey. They're in the top four in the country. Good for them, and yay, go Gophers. I know some of you like, I mean, University of Minnesota Duluth, some of you like the Mavericks. Go Gophers, that's all I'll tell you about that. We played these guys a million times. They're physical. Sometimes we score, sometimes we don't. But generally, these have been high-scoring games. And don't be surprised to see Jonathan Quick in that. I think we'll see one of each during the course of this series. I think we split. I think we split with the Kings, even though, man, wouldn't it be cool if we somehow sweep them? But is that a little bit too optimistic? We might end up going 2-2 in these games. Maybe we'll sweep the Golden Knights. I don't know, which would be pretty freaking impressive. But because our record against the Golden Knights has been insane. I think we've only lost one regulation game to the Golden Knights so far in our history. That's crazy when you consider how successful that franchise has been. First place, second place, you know, conference final, Stanley Cup final, and getting beaten the first round by the stinking Sharks. That was surprising after taking a 3-1 lead in the second year when they acquired Mr. Stone. Mark Stone is now their captain for the first time. Sean Walker, obviously we know what happened to him. Hopefully he gets better. And Matt Roy has been playing, but he's, you know, there's a lot of bottom feeders on this roster. God bless them and all respect to them, but still got Hanze Kopitar as the franchise, having a hell of a year so far at the end of the day. I think we split. I'm just going to say we split. One of these games we win. I'm going to say, I think tonight we ride the momentum. I think we're going to beat Jonathan Quick tonight. I think we'll beat Jonathan Quick tonight. It'll be a final score of something like 4-2, something like that, with Kaapo Kähkönen in net, Jonathan Quick in net. Kaapo Kähkönen with Jonathan Quick. I think Kähkönen's going to win another one. Most likely guy to score. Let's go with that first line. Kevin Fiala is going to score his 7th goal of the season. Minnesota wins 4-2, and I keep saying tonight. I think I said tonight. Friday night, the Wild win. Saturday, Cam Talbot, and he's going to be fine, but it's going to be like 2-1 Kings. It's going to be one of those frustrating games, kind of like where they beat the St. Louis Blues most recently, 2-1. I didn't even look at how they've been playing. The Kings have been freaking great. They've won the last 5 games. They beat the Wild 4-0. They beat Arizona 3-2. They beat Arizona 4-2. They shut out the St. Louis Blues, Jonathan Quick there, and then beat the St. Louis Blues 2-1 most recently. That's what I think is going to happen with Peterson in that. I think the Wild lose to the Los Angeles Kings for Saturday. Who knows? Maybe it'll be switched. Maybe we'll sweep. Maybe they'll sweep us. But that's my prediction. The only guy to score in the game will be Zach Parise. Is going to get his 4th goal of the season. What do you think of that? Zach Parise's 4th goal of the season for Minnesota. But the Wild lose to the Los Angeles Kings. And we get to play the Vegas Golden Knights, one of the more entertaining matchups in Wild history. Minnesota versus Vegas. It's always fun. Wild always seem to play well against this club despite their incredible success to their franchise. We'll play on Monday and Wednesday in Las Vegas. Enjoy. And we get to play the Vegas Golden Knights again a week later on the same days, Monday and Wednesday. We'll be previewing them again. It's going to be Arizona. Oh, that's going to be fun. Get to see some Southwestern hockey again, rather than just California, 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 California. Now we're going to the Southwest. Arizona? Yeah, we're in Vegas now, or we'll go to Vegas at this stage, and then to Arizona, and then we'll host Vegas and host Arizona. All right, so that'll be next week. We're talking about Vegas and Arizona extensively. Goals against, number one in the National Hockey League. Wow. Marc-Andre Fleury has been insane. Robin Lehner has been injured. Five games, and he's given up almost 3 goals a game. Save percentage is just under, well, yeah, it's 89. Literally 89. 3 shutouts for Marc-Andre Fleury. He has been dazzling in net. He's looking like Fleury was last year during that great winning streak before Robin Lehner came. I remember how Fleury dropped off a bit. They got frustrated. They acquired Robin Lehner, and then off to the Western Final they went, only to lose, unfortunately. Robin Lehner, upper body injury as of Feb 11th, and again, he's not been very good this year. Thomas Norsk, COVID protocol for him, and of course, again, Vegas had some games suspended or, you know, postponed. And Braden McNabb with an undisclosed injury as of Jan 27th. Undisclosed. Ooh. Yeah, what could it be? Who knows? Vegas is number one in the league in goals against, though absolutely insane. Marc-Andre Fleury leading the way there. This is the very first game of the season of 8. We will play, 8 games we'll play against the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll wrap up the season series on May the 5th. Wow, that's late. May the 5th.
But that's what happens when you have suspended games for both Vegas and Minnesota during the course of the season. We'll be playing all the way up until May the 5th. Can't imagine how beautiful it's going to be out at that time of the year. It's getting warmer, but we all know we're going to have a couple of cold snaps along the way. At least a couple. There's going to be at least a couple of times where people are going to be disappointed and frustrated that it's cold again. What happens with Vegas? Well, we're going to win at least one of these, I think, but we're going to have to be frustrated because we're not going to score a whole lot of goals. Most likely guy to score, Kirill Kaprizov is going to score on Monday. The Minnesota Wild win 3-1 versus the... Minnesota Wild win 3-2 versus the Vegas Golden Knights with Cam Talbot in net. Cam Talbot will get the win. And on Wednesday, I don't know. On Wednesday, what's going to happen there? I think the Wild end up not having the best game, maybe. Maybe it'll be like a 4-2 loss to the Vegas Golden Knights. I'll look at Mark Stone right now. He's at over a point a game. He is a hell of a playmaker. He's more of a playmaker than a goal scorer, kind of like what Kaprizov's been for us so far, even though he's a winger rather than a center. But he can play kind of a centerish type of style like Kaprizov kind of can at times. Kind of a, you know, like a hybrid center type. Vegas Golden Knights, Mark Stone, 17 points in 16 games. Alex Tuck, second leading scorer, tied with Max Pacioretty with 13 points. And again, Jonathan Marchessault, the tough little guy, 6 goals on the year. Max Pacioretty with 8 goals on the season. Alex Tuck, second on the team with 7. Again, a guy we would love to have on this roster. Even though we've, you know, well, we finally have some wingers, Alex Tuck would still fit in right in a big way. They're kind of struggling at center as well at times, are the Vegas Golden Knights, generally speaking. But then again, not really. Max Pacioretty has been great, so I should just shut my mouth there. William Karlsson's kind of picking it up a little bit. Pietrangelo not producing a ton of points, but he's still been just very strong, very staunch in net. And Cody Glass is the emerging young center of the Vegas Golden Knights. Again, he was the very first-round pick for the Golden Knights years back. Golden Knights are 3-2 on the season. They beat the Sharks 3-1 on the 13th, and happy Valentine's Day, a shutout for Fleury. Happy Valentine's Day, Marc-Andre Fleury, shutting out Colorado 1-0. Wow. Wow. Play Colorado 4 games in a row. They lost 3-2, 2 games in a row on the 16th and 20th with that long break, I guess, in between games. I think there was a minor suspension there. And then the Avalanche gets shut out 3-0 by Marc-Andre Fleury again on the 22nd, most recently. They will play the Sharks and the Ducks leading up into Minnesota. 3 games leading up to Minnesota. March the 1st. March the 1st is coming. Heading into the month of March, I think the Wild... Well, I think we split with this club, so we're going to split with LA. Tough, tough games. We'll see. If we come out of this 4-game stretch 3-1, I'd be very, very happy. If we somehow sweep them, I'll be ecstatic. But again, no Stanley Cup has ever been won in the month of March or February. So don't get overly excited if we have a huge winning streak in February or March. It's good for playoff positioning, you know, and all that. But let's get in our hot streak in the postseason in May. Wouldn't that be great? Then we can start getting excited. Because we'll be in the West Finals against the Golden... No, not against the Golden Knights. It would have to be somebody on the other side. Maybe the... the Blackhawks. No, I'm kidding. It'll be somebody. I'm going to look at that real quick just for fun. See how teams are doing. Just a dream. Hopefully we get there someday. That would be amazing. It would be... Well, who would we match up against? Yeah, I don't know. Who's considered the West? Yeah, I don't even know. No, there is no separation. Yeah, we'll find out. I think it's going to be an overall seeding. So I guess we'll just find out who it would be. Probably not the Boston Bruins, because we struggle against them usually. Let's move on and talk about the prospects, eh? It's about time we did. As Brennan Menel continues to play fantastic, he's now at 38 points on the season in the KHL for Minsk Dynamo. 33 assists. He's just been great. Plus 6 for that club. 38 points in only 46 games. He is just tearing it up. And it's not really only. 46 games is quite a few. KHL's been very active. And man, wow, Brennan Menel, I hope he gets back and gets to play for the Minnesota Wild someday and end up becoming a valuable player for us for many years to come. Iowa Wild, they've been quiet of late. Postponed games, this and that. They've had some moments, and they've had some not-so-good moments. It's been kind of all over the place. We'll talk about them here in a couple seconds. I just want to load this up here. But generally speaking, yeah, Brandon Duhaime, no points so far for that club. Gabriel Dumont, 29 years of age, so he's a career minor leaguer mostly. 7 points on the season. Sokolov stuck at four. DeWeer stuck at four. Kalen Addison, he's, well, I believe he was, yeah, he was sent back to Iowa, but it's not official yet. So, yeah, I don't know. That's kind of how, he hasn't played in a regular game yet. Adam Beckman is still there at the moment because he plays in the, he plays in the United States. He doesn't have to go to Canada, so he didn't get shipped away yet, so to speak, because of the, you know, the whole quarantine situation. The guys like Damon Hunt, Barabao, he's been out. That's interesting. And Hunter Jones, yep, man. Hunter Jones gave up another 7 goals. Poor guy. Actually, this one is even more. He's now averaging 9.64 goals against. And in the game he was playing against, there were so many guys out. It was just such an odd situation because the taxi squad situation with Minnesota. We needed, like, you know, a ton of players coming to Minnesota to help replace the sick players. And it was a rough couple games for Minnesota and Iowa for that situation. Mostly for Iowa, though. And then Minnesota's taken off and been great. Louis Belpedio's back in Iowa. He's got one assist so far since going back. And again, Addison has officially not played in a AHL game since yet. Mason Shaw got his second point of the season. His first goal, 2 points on the year for him. But nothing spectacular to talk about with Iowa right now. We're just going to have to wait and see, unfortunately. So a lot of those Iowa AHL players kind of been inactive of late because of the just, you know, ongoing situation, games getting postponed. It's frustrating. It is what it is. And we have to keep moving. It's a bummer. It's a big-time bummer. Bryce Meisley, let's go to the college ranks. He's stuck at 2 points, now 10 games for the University of Vermont. Bummer, man. I like that guy. I want him to do well, but unfortunately it's just not been happening. Nick Sweeney, 24 points on the season. He was able to add 1 point. He had 23 last week, now 22 total games. 10 goals. That was his 10th goal of the season. Double digits. His career high in college was 15 goals. We'll see what happens. Nick Sweeney, we're almost in March, though, because sooner or later we're going to be talking about the NCAA tournament. The season's wrapping up now. The Lakeville native and many other Minnesota Wild prospects. Really like Nick Sweeney, and I do believe he should have been in Mr. Wheeler's top prospects for Minnesota. I don't know how he didn't get in there. I think he's a little better than Hentges right now, but we'll see how Hentges does moving forward. He's still an exciting prospect. He's got 14 total points, 7 goals, 7 assists in 20 games for St. Cloud. St. Cloud, as Channel 17 would say, the robot voice, St. Cloud. Oh, God, that is hilarious. Sean Boudreaux, yep, he's in the AHL. He's got a couple points. We'll see what happens. It's just going to be a slow go there. Alexander Hovanov, I'm going to have to go back and pick him up. Obviously, he's been in the, I guess it's the junior league, yep. So I'm getting it right finally. VHL's junior, MHL is the, like, the AHL equivalent of, what just happened? Yeah, he's the AHL equivalent of the, KHL over there. So that's how that goes. Kuznetsov again, he had that massive shoulder injury. That sucks. It's going to be a while until we see him play again next season. Oh, speedy recovery for Marat Kuznetsov. It's just been a nasty week. It's been a nasty couple of weeks here. Marco Rossi out for the year with that strange heart condition, you know, due to COVID-19 or weakening of the heart muscle. Kuznetsov, shoulder injury. And now the Minnesota Twins' top prospect slips on ice and tears his ACL. Seriously? I mean, what the hell? Why can't we have nice things? Well, we do have nice things, and I'm not going to continue about what names they are because I don't want to jinx anybody. Please stay healthy, all of you. That's not funny, is it? 24 points in 30 games so far for Hovanov. 8 goals, 16 assists. He's been okay, 20 or 50 penalty minutes. But if it's the junior league, I'm not that excited. He should be dominating. Come on, dominate. But then again, I know, it's probably tougher over there than it would be here in North America when it comes to the juniors. It's got to be, right? It's got to be tougher in the VHL than, say, like the OHL or the Q or anything like that. But I don't know. I'm greedy. Come on, we can do better, Hovi. Let's go. Let's go. Jack McBain, now he's at slightly less than a point a game. No points this past week. So he went to the weekend with no points. 18 points on the year, 5 goals, 13 assists for Boston College in his junior season. And Jack McBain. Philip Johansson, well, he had 10 points, and he has 10 points, and he has 10 points, and he has 10 points. He had that little hot streak, and it's been nothing since. 37 games and still stuck at 10 points. 5 goals, 5 assists. So I guess the hey now, the dream is over. Philly, Philip Lindbergh got in net again. Yep. Now 7 games on the season and dominant again. 1.39 goals against average. Really cool to see him play well. 3-1-1, so like I guess must have been those overtime losses or ties or whatever the heck they call it in the college ranking. It's a little bit different. It's funny. But 1.39 goals against average. This team just needs to score for him. Come on. Philip Lindbergh's keeping you in the games. 1.39 goals against average. Save percentage is about 95. I think he's better than that Matthew Murray guy. I think so. It'll be his club next year, but Philip Lindbergh, hey, man, he's been spectacular. I hope he keeps it up, and, man, maybe we'll have 2 finished goalies in that moving forward. Maybe Philip Lindbergh will be Mr. What's-His-Name's backup, Mr. Kakinen's backup, Mr. What's-His-Name. I'm just messing around. But maybe there'll be a backup or a tandem at the platoon. Well, Hunter Jones, we saw what happened in AHL. I agree, it's not his fault. Pavel Bennett was saying it's not his fault. It's not. There was, like, nobody in front of him. And I don't think he's ready for the AHL. But I hope it didn't screw up his confidence moving forward. I really hope not. Nikita Nesterenko, obviously, again, freshman year, only 19 years of age, 17 points, 7 goals, 10 assists in 19 games. He's just been so good. Everywhere he goes, he's about a point-a-game guy. Hope he can keep that up. If he can do that in the NHL, what an amazing 6th-round pick he would be. Marshall Warren added his 2nd goal of the season. Good for him. 7 points in 18 games. More of an intangible defenseman with plus 14 for the number 1 plus in college. Marshall Warren, awesome job thus far. Matt Vigoskov, and not much going on there. We'll keep moving. I believe he's probably in the... Yeah, I think he's in the... He's most likely in the MHL, I believe. Let's look at him real quick. I believe that's where he was. See how he's performing. Yeah, because it's not going to show his... Yep, he's in the MHL. That's what I thought. 10 points, 5 goals, 5 assists in the MHL in 14 games. Not bad, actually. So that's the AHL equivalent in the Russian leagues there. KHL would be the NHL. Yeah, does that make sense? Sort of. Vladislav Firstov for University of Connecticut. He's still a point-a-game player, but he's missed some games. 11 points in 11 games. Obviously more of a playmaker thus far for the University of Connecticut, and Matthew Boldy, who's become a college star. 8 goals, 14 assists, 22 total points in 17 games in only his sophomore year. Will he come to the AHL, or will he spend 1 more year in college? We'll have to wait and see, I guess. Will he come to the AHL right away? When you consider he was a 12th overall pick, after 2 years in college, that might be enough. We'll see, though. We'll have to wait and see. I'm not going to judge him either way. Pavel Novák, 1 point in the Czech League thus far. Unfortunately for him. Going to double-check something real quick, just in case. Because we all know how that can go. Pavel Novák. I like those cool-looking creative jerseys, actually. It looks really nice. So, he's played in multiple leagues. He's been on loan. He's got 4 points in the Czech 2 league. And, yeah. So, 4 points in one league and only 1 in the main. So, Czech 2. He must be in the Czech 2 league right now. Because he wasn't very productive in the Czech 1, so to speak. Czech 1, Czech 2. I like that. Damon Hunt headed back to juniors, and he's off to, he's in the the Manitoba Junior Hockey League after being on Iowa for a minute. He's got 5 points so far, 3 goals, not bad, in 3 games for Damon Hunt. Already got a picture for him. They didn't have one before. Ryan O'Rourke, he's been in 5 games of the AHL, just 1 assist thus far, but he's looked solid out there, and we've seen him and enjoyed what he was able to do. And both of our top 2 picks, Kuznetsov and Rossi, out for the season. Why can't we have nice things? I don't know. I guess we can't. That sucks. With that, we'll conclude the prospects conversation and move on to fan interaction right after this. we are back here on Brave the Wild, segment number 3. We're going to get to fan interaction right away, right now. At Brave the Wild is the Twitter account. Facebook.com/BraveTheWild.Minnesota is the Facebook account. And shout-outs to, again, MNW Prospects, at MNW Prospects for Twitter. Facebook.com/MNW Prospects for Facebook. Again, major shout-out. Again, Matthew Boldy ended up getting the Prospect of the Week on that wonderful publication that I'm proud to be a part of. Just waiting for the junior leagues to get going again. I think they're extending this way too long. It's ridiculous. You know, if other leagues can play, why can't the juniors play? Let's go. Go ahead and take the virus seriously all you want. But, I mean, the NHL's playing, the AHL's playing. Yeah, the AHL, I think they waited too long also. Major League Baseball, NFL, yeah, you get the idea. I'll move on. Jay Bushy getting things going with hashtag BTWMN. That's a way to kind of organize things. Even though sometimes it doesn't pop up in chronological order, at least it's there in front of me so I can get to it. Jay Bushy leading things off, saying, I've been presently surprised with the play of Rask. Do you think he's found a home with Zucks and Cap? Yes, absolutely. I think that's a wonderful line. I think the chemistry is fantastic. Keep them together as much as you can. And if Zuccarello is going to be that productive, Victor Rask is going to be that productive. Those are two guys we were bashing all year last year, and we had every right to do so. Because we didn't see a whole lot. Even though Rask was pretty clutch at times, Zuccarello was virtually invisible. And then, Kirill Kaprizov was looked on to be the best goal scorer on the Wild. He's the best playmaker on the Wild at the moment. And Zuccarello's a hell of a playmaker, too. When you get guys like that working together, good things are going to happen. Goals are going to be scored. And it's going to be fun to watch. I love what we're seeing, Jay. Love it. Teresa Ferries on board. Thank you very much. Says, is the renaissance of the Los Angeles Kings, yeah, like I was talking about earlier, the real deal, or will they stumble when it matters? For now, it's real. I don't know. It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it, Teresa? It's kind of hard to believe. I think they're going to end up missing the playoffs, but I don't know. You just never know. If Jonathan Quick has found something, they might have a shot. A lot of the young players aren't really, they're not there yet. It's all the older guys still that are leading the way. There's nothing wrong with that. They won cups together. But I think they're going to miss the playoffs. I'll say they'll stumble when it matters. I'm going to lean that direction. But thus far, they're playing great. Derek says, the NHL's Lake Tahoe game flopped in the day due to poor ice. Yep, I remember that, how it was rehab, but it was fantastic at night. Do you think we will see more of the outdoor games at night? Or does that diminish the spectacle aspect of it? I think, try to go with both. I mean, shoot, I think night is cool. Night's cool. I mean, yeah, you don't see the beauty necessarily in the background. But go for it. I mean, maybe it depends on the location, I guess, this and that. Like, a place like this at night would be fine, I think, because, you know, is there a whole lot to see here necessarily in the background? I mean, a little bit, like buildings and stuff, where Lake Tahoe would have been great. But I think there's nothing wrong with night ones. Kind of try to do the best you can and do both. I mean, it shows you can be versatile if the, you know, weather is not permitting, so to speak. This and that. That is kind of funny, though, how the ice, it's probably too warm there, this and that, obviously. Derek Felska says, it took Matt Zuccarello just 4 games to work his way into the Wild's top 5 in scoring. If he has a big bounce-back year, will he have to take back the criticism of his contract? A little bit. I'm surprised. I was criticizing the heck out of the contract and everything. A little bit, I guess. I guess maybe he was just hurt last year the whole time. Though, in a lot of ways, Matt's, be more responsible and get that surgery done. You know, if you're, I'd rather you're healthy, you miss the games with the surgery and you get healthy, and actually we get to see the real Matt Zuccarello rather than get basically ripped off like we did last year. So he deserved the criticism last year. So I'll say no, we shouldn't have to take it back because he should have taken care of himself. But we'll just move forward and not criticize Paul Fenton as much, I guess, maybe for the contract. But Zuccarello himself, yeah, I mean, take better care, you know, like take care of yourself, get it fixed. That kind of thing. Sorry for bouncing everywhere. You're probably like, okay, Joey, you twisted that about 15 different angles. Sorry. The Minnesota Wild have only played half of the teams in their division so far due to scheduling and COVID. How do you think they will fare against the other half with Vegas, Arizona, St. Louis, respectively? I think we'll be successful against Vegas and Arizona. St. Louis, it's all over the place. We'll be like 500. I think we're usually a 500 club versus St. Louis. Binnington's been significantly better. Like last year, it was awful. But then Jake Allen was good. That was kind of funny. Now Jake Allen's doing pretty good behind Carey Price and Mal Ayal. Arizona, we just seem to play well against that club in Vegas. We play well against them. I think we'll have winning records versus both of them, if you can believe that. But I think St. Louis is going to be right above 500. It's kind of like a Green Bay thing with St. Louis. Like, win, loss, win, loss. That's how I see that. And I was saying it's not a myth. Kaprizov really does need to shoot more. He could have been one-on-one with Dubnyk, and he elected to pass to Zuccarello, which was broken up. And again, nothing wrong with Zuccarello. It's a good chemistry, but shoot. Ah, what happened? I want to see the tweet there. I'll have to kind of go back and forth. Yep, Tom Hayen. Here we go. Tom Hayen says, I have no doubt that will come. More than likely, just placating to the vets. And yeah, placating to the vets, pardon me. And that's, I think, exactly what's happening. Just like it was happening in those Russian leagues like I was talking about earlier. Every time he moved up a level, he did that. Where he was more of a playmaker at first and then became more of a balanced goal-scoring and playmaker. He's placating to the vets, trying to prove he's a good teammate, etc., etc. No doubt the old guys in the room will be in his ear to shoot more often. A full season with his talent and a legit number one center, he scores 40 easily. I think so. I mean, the puck really comes off his stick, doesn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Jay Bushy, nope. Justin Bakke says, because that was the earlier one with Jay Bushy there. That was last week. Justin Bakke says, and again of the Sound the Foghorn podcast, says, what is your take on Parisi? He has only 2 goals, and now it's 3, but looks a step behind. Do you see the stops and starts being a part of this, or is this the norm in your opinion? I think it's kind of where he's heading. I think it's the norm, unfortunately. Though, of course, yeah, he had that long stop last year, and he was completely invisible in the bubble. Invisible. Yeah, I think he's closer to the norm. He'll have some renaissances. He'll come up and down. I mean, everybody kind of peaks a little bit, peaks and valleys, so to speak. But I think Parisi's down to like a, at best, like a 40-point guy now. I think so. And it's a long way to go on that contract as well. That kind of sucks. Hopefully we got more of a hay and lightning robin. Might not have had a whole lot. Here we go. Yeah, there's a number more here. Derek Felska says, does the Wild win streak leave you with some questions in mind? Ask Brave the Wild and tag a question. Yep, thank you so much, Derek, for that. Always 1,000% appreciate that. JoJo on that beat says, do the Wild have a shot at Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in the offseason? I think so. We'd have to obviously maneuver some money around a bit. We'll have some space because Johansson is not coming back. Bonino, very unlikely, is coming back unless it's at a really cheap contract. That type of thing. We'll have some cap space, but unfortunately we got to sign some people as well. That, you know, there is that. I believe we'll have to re-sign Kaprizov and Fiala, right? So, yeah. We'll have a shot at him, and he might find this place very interesting. He'll certainly have more ice time in Minnesota. Edmonton, he's reduced a bit because of the insane talent at the top. But, well, Edmonton's playing pretty well right now, so we'll see. But I think we have a shot, yes. Tom Haynes shared the show. Thank you so much, Tom. I really appreciate that. Derek shared one from the Dogfather. The Dogfather says, the no-move clause is the... Yep, that's what M ends. Yeah. The no-move clause is the nail in the coffin. I wish nothing but the best for both sides of this contract, but the no-move clauses are given out liberally by the Wild. So who was he talking about there? I'm going to back up. Okay. Oh, he was talking about Matt Zuccarello. Okay. MN Johan says, for the present time, yes, but not in the long run. It was still too long. And with the no-move clause, not a very friendly contract. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah. The no-move clause is bad, yes. Zuccarello clearly can still play, but yeah, the long-term, the no-move clause. Good point, Dogfather. Good point, and thanks, Derek, for sharing that. That is a good point. It's a good point, because he's probably going to drop off just like the rest of them, just like Parisi and Suter. Is there any more current ones? Just keep scrolling. That's all I can do now because of the chronological order. It isn't chronologically in order. Well, generally it is, though, but there's always a couple later on. So that's it for fan interaction. Thank you so much, Jay, Teresa, Derek, the Dogfather indirectly, Tom Hayen always as well. Wish I got to see more of a Tom Hayen lightning round, but maybe he was busy. Justin Bakke, thank you so much there as well. Cool, thank you so much. Shout-outs to Again, MNW prospects, like I said, very proud to be a part of that. I cover the Q, the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, and the British Columbia Hockey League, BCHL, for that publication, and we're still waiting for those juniors to get going, but I guess they're not going to. I don't know what to say anymore. It's frustrating waiting for that. I'm sure the players are pissed off. Shout-outs to Minnesota Wild Global and Minnesota Wild Nation. Thank you guys so much for letting me be a part of things. Patrick Turner with Minnesota Wild Nation. And Minnesota Wild Global, you got Scott Cavendish, David Kostick, Chance Kostick, Chad Walski, Kathy Main. Thank you so much. Always great friends. Great conversation with Minnesota Wild on those pages. Keeping up with news and games, in-game threads and all that. It's so much fun. You can curse, you can celebrate within minutes because things can change so quickly in the National Hockey League. Thank you always, Derek Velska. Crease and Assist. Crease and Assist the Sports Daily. Thank you so much for being a part of things and rounding up the questions. And, you know, and when sometimes people are busy. Sometimes people jump on board. The more you guys ask, though, it's great. You know, like Jay Bushy, Tom Hayen, Teresa Ferries, Derek, Ty Sandstrom, all of you out there. Hope to hear from you more and more in the Fan Interaction segment. I understand if you're busy or you don't see it or something like that. But until next week, bidding all of you adieu for the most part, other than a super quick thing, please get to the audio submission. If you could, it would be greatly appreciated. All you got to do is open up the free voice recording application on any smart device on the planet and then treat it like a phone call. Hit stop or, you know, save it. And email it to PaladinoLive@Yahoo.com. PaladinoLive@Yahoo.com. All the information will be in the show description at the end of the day. The very final thing, please write a positive rating for Brave the Wild on Apple Podcasts, Audible, or Stitcher, if you could, because those are the three different applications where they allow you to do that, I guess. Others, I'm not sure if there's a way to do that yet, but if there is, please write a positive rating for the show. That would be greatly appreciated. I'll give you a major shout-out and a thank you on air. Until next time, go wild. Let's keep this up.